What's up and welcome everybody to the Bros and Consoles podcast episode. Oh man, I don't know what episode it is. Do you know what episode it is, Michael?
80 something?
Hold on a second.
82?
This is real bad. I jumped straight into it and I haven't done this in a while. I think it's 85. Yeah, that's okay. What I got. 85 coming to you that's on close. August 22nd, 2021. My name, of course, if you listened before, is Nathan Choquette, a.k.a. your best friend, a.k.a. your retro music DJ, bringing back the original song intro. Michael's looking with a confused face because I had it muted so he couldn't hear it.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything.
But it was. It's the original. Back by popular demand. coming
we'll
back and making a return here. Yeah, we'll say that. How you been doing? Sonic's number one fan, Michael Panarero.
Good, but I have a serious question to ask you.
Oh, okay.
It's been eating at me, and don't take this the wrong way. Get mad.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to buy Skyrim on the PS5?
Michael just jumping straight into the only news this week I cared about.
Yeah.
Let's just go into the updates here. As you guys know, video game podcasts talk about news, updates on games, new releases, sometimes hot topics, sometimes hot takes, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But most important news of the week, Michael, Sonic
is the most important news of the week every week.
No. Skyrim, the other S word that is in, the halls of great video games. Skyrim coming to the PS5 and Xbox Series consoles, I guess I should say.
Yep.
It's always difficult for the Xbox stuff, but I think I'm very excited for this. So,
I figured you would be.
the nice thing for people who are caught unawares about this, obviously Skyrim is on everything nowadays, right? Now it's coming to the current gen consoles. This means, it's now been across three console generations, including, I guess, a fourth if you count VR being in there also.
Yeah.
But, the idea that it's coming to the PS5 and the Xbox consoles, pretty exciting. It's going to be free if you own the PS4 version or the Xbox One version. And if you want to, you can upgrade to the Anniversary Edition, which is going to cost something. I don't know what it is yet because they haven't mentioned it.
Don't know either.
But it sounds like it comes with some cool stuff. And yeah, I'll probably... I mean, it's going to be free, and I'll probably end up buying this Anniversary Edition.
Probably. I don't think there's a problem. You will buy the Anniversary Edition.
This is just the game that just keeps on giving, Michael. That's what I always say.
Yep. Sure.
That's what I always say about Skyrim.
They're adding fishing in it now or something like that, I read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I'm curious if the fishing is going to be, when they say that they're adding fishing, are they adding you can go over to water if you have a fishing pole on you and then look at the water and press the button? Or is it you have to actually cast your rod and stuff like that? Because mundane tasks in Skyrim, gathering firewood and, chopping lumber for your house kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those types of things are relegated to, you go and look at, a stump and then you click it and then it does it for you.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine that, fishing is going to be this whole new minigame.
Knowing how Bethesda games are, it's going to be some weird, wonky thing that's going to... you're going to be able to do something weird with it, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is cool, I guess.
You're gonna see some, new NPC in town who's, at a fishing hole, and if you go and try to click on it when he's fishing, it'll say, no, you can't use it because someone's using this right now.
You have to kill that guy, and then...
Well, no. Because usually, if you go and do it, they then stand up awkwardly, and they're like, oh, shoot, the person playing the game wants to do this, so I better move, and then they go and do that. Except for chopping wood, because whatever, the guy who helps out Bellathor at his store in Whiterun always chopping wood and making you wait for it.
Won't let you do it.
Little jerk. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I like the news. I'm excited if this means that, next-gen trophies and achievements are going to be available too.
More than likely.
Probably actually just the trophies part. I don't think achievements will be a thing, because Xbox has been doing... That's the one thing Xbox has not been, meeting, minority demand for over here.
I'm sure a lot of people don't really mind that at all.
But yeah, no, it's cool news. I like that though. In terms of the main thing is I want to see what the kind of extra things are that are kind of added with the Anniversary Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's talk about content from the, like, because for a while now, there's been, like, the, I don't know what exactly what it's called, like, the creator store on, it's like a creator store on Skyrim, or Creation Club, I think is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to that part, then I don't know if it's just you could just download all these things, or you have to, like, buy them individually, because obviously I haven't used it, because every time you click on it, it's like, hey, if you enable any of this stuff, trophies don't pop, or achievements don't pop, and I'm just like, nah, it's not for me then. But they have really cool stuff on there from what I've heard, like, you know, people who have made just like an entire like dwarven city in the sky kind of thing. And I'm just like, that sounds awesome. It's but also Minecraft, let me get my trophies. So in terms of like that stuff, if there's those kind of things added into the game and it's just now part of the game, that sounds awesome. And then I'm an instant buy.
There you go.
It's like, hey, we're also going to still disable your trophies, I mean, like, man, stop doing that to me.
Just let me get trophies.
Yeah, just let me like get some cool trophies as I level up on this dwarven sky city. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, I say dwarven. Dwemer. Dwemer, Dwemer is the official term in Elder Scrolls lore.
It's good to know at least one of us will be getting it, because I will not.
Well, you'll have it for free, Michael. The upgrade
version. Won't touch it, probably.
eventually, Michael.
No, eventually. I haven't touched, I haven't jumped into Skyrim, I don't even know in how long. It's been years and years.
Yeah. That is, I'm gonna put a pin in this topic, because there is a topic that I want to, maybe we'll revisit this towards the end of the episode if we have time for it. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of stuff kind of planned, I think.
Yeah.
So without further ado, Michael, let's put a pin in it there. I don't think there was any other like crazy announcement things this week, right?
No, smaller things here and there, but nothing like
gigantic.
Worthy.
Yeah, nothing worthy.
Nothing worthy.
There was, yeah, I mean, we had like, what, like an indie showcase, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be, what, the Gamescom opening night live coming this week, or this coming week. I think there's also Xbox has like a showcase for Gamescom, which are all things that have been announced by the sounds of things. Maybe updates on those things.
I think GameCon, there's rumored stuff. Well, not rumored, because they showed a picture of it, new Saints Row.
Oh, kinda. Yeah.
Don't know if it's a reboot or if it's a new game, but it's something new, which is cool.
Yeah. So we got some cool things coming up soon, as well as just a gigantic amount of games that we'll, I think, probably talk about next week.
Yeah.
But Michael had a specific topic that he wanted us to kind of talk about this week. Would you like to introduce it, Michael?
I was watching a bunch of YouTube stuff and video game people, and they were sharing their hot takes in video games, or like controversial opinions.
Okay.
And I thought, we never really talked about that before. I don't think we mentioned like even like on like when we're just not recording. I don't think we even like talked about that really. So I thought it'd be a really cool thing to see what are controversial or hot take opinions in video games are. So I set it at 4, but if we just like run through them real fast, we have an extra one just in case.
Yeah, just in case.
So I'll let you.
Oh, you're gonna let me start.
I'll let you start off.
All right, these are in no particular order.
Mine aren't either.
Yeah, I'm just kind of.
These could end friendships, but it's whatever.
Wow, dang, man. Yes, now the stakes are high. So these are in no particular order. I think when I started off, kind of thinking of these things, obviously, as people probably listening to the podcast for a while know about me, I play a lot of stuff on PlayStation. So first couple ones that I've got are more PlayStation heavy, and then I start to kind of branch out a little bit more from there. I'll start off with the first one, which I feel is probably one of my hotter takes in terms of just general consensus amongst like video game like personalities and stuff.
Okay.
I think The Last of Us is overrated.
That one I can definitely agree with. I think we've both mentioned that before.
Yeah. And I think that's, if we've mentioned it before, then this is maybe old news for people. But some people knew coming in and be like, what? Turn off this podcast and shut it down. But I think the game itself is overrated. Now, in terms of like, I think in general, I do hear a lot of personalities and stuff say like, this game's not for me. And I understand that it's a good or great game, and why it gets all this praise and stuff, but I just don't like it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm ever like specifically like that in terms of when I say that I think something is like overrated, because obviously like I just always assume people understand this is my opinion kind of thing.
Yeah,
so I don't think I have to justify it by that. But I think in terms of The Last of Us itself, I'm not talking about Part 2 because I haven't played it.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the Last of Us, I think the gameplay is fine.
Yeah.
Right? Nothing special.
Nothing crazy. Been there, done that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, you shoot things. Things run at you. You got to sneak around and stuff. I don't even think the sneaking system is all that great, honestly. Splinter Cell, you know, just blows this thing out of the water if you're talking about stealth mechanics. And then, you know, it's not really an open world game.
No.
But at the same time, it's, you know, it's kind of like a movie, I guess, where you just kind of move around and shoot things, right? You kind of just go through, like, story, things like that.
Story beats, yeah.
And so, like, I get that it's not an open world game, but it's not supposed to be, right? I think it's supposed to kind of somewhat feel like the world is real, like, vast and stuff, just based on, like, atmosphere and everything. But, you know, I can see that this is just kind of like, you know, you're being guided down a story corridor and whatnot, and kind of seeing things that are just supposed to happen. And then the thing that in my mind, you know, changes the game for me, where I go from being like, you know, this is pretty decent to like, yeah, you know, it wasn't as great of an experience in the end as I would have liked it to be kind of thing, was the ending portion of the game.
Yeah.
Where then you are kind of like forced to make a decision type of thing. And you're not even, I wouldn't even call it a decision. It's you're forced to do something, yeah. Right? And I won't spoil it because this isn't a spoiler cast. But yeah, you're forced to go and do something at the very end of the game, right? And the, you know, if developers and whatnot put these things in cutscenes, you know, then in my mind, it's like, okay, this is canon. This is what happened. Mm-hmm. End of story, right? I don't bat an eye at it. But to then like make it like, oh, you have to be the one who actually like pulls the trigger here type of thing. I'm just like, well, this is kind of a dumb decision in my mind. It doesn't make the decision feel any more like weighty just because I am the one who physically has to do it in my mind. It's kind of just like a...
Interesting.
It's kind of like, oh, like, you know, you like it in. So, in, okay, let me explain a little bit better, hopefully. In my mind, you know, video games, it's all about you doing what you want in these games and whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, story is happening around you, which is why I feel like most games do story in cutscenes and things.
Right.
With, you know, a cutscene happening and then transitioning over to being like, oh, hey, you have to go and do this now. That's when I'm a little like, well, this is dumb. Like, if I wanted this, I would have watched a movie kind of thing rather than playing a video game to get to this type of end type of thing here, if that makes sense. I prefer to actually have control in my games to some degree, not just be like, okay, look, you have to do this. Otherwise, it's game over, and then you have to do it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll wait for you to do this and keep giving you a game over until you do it. And I'm just like, well, this is stupid. Like, why would I do this for?
Yeah.
So that's when I'm just like, okay, well, this went from being a video game to now it's just like, okay, you're just forcing me to do these things. I'm just like, well, that's, you know. It's not what I play games for, you know? And that's why I'm just like, yeah, you know, it's kind of overrated. Everyone is like, oh my gosh, they had this crazy twist at the end and they made you do it and it's all these feelings. And I'm just like, well, you know, if you think about it, you're playing a game and you take control away from the player and force them to do something. It's kind of like falsely pushing these feelings on you in a weird way, if that makes sense.
I get it.
That's what I think about it. And that's probably why this is a hot take for me.
I agree with like 95% of that. Mm-hmm. I do think with that ending thing, I do like what they did. I agree with like they're basically forcing you and you have to do it kind of and you're controlling it. Mm-hmm. But I get why they did it. So I think at least the ending for me, like that personally, it made the moment hit harder for me. Mm-hmm. Like I can see what they're going for. It makes you have to do this choice. Like, okay, so you have to control Joel. So it's almost like you're doing it.
Yeah.
And I get the opposite of that reaction kind of takes you out of it and stuff. And you're being forced to do this, but I can see why they did it. And I think that one just hit for me a little different, but I agree with like 95% of the rest of it though.
Yeah. And I know what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And for me, it just takes me out of it. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, well, you know, You could have just done this in a cutscene. Yeah. I would have probably had a better reaction to this if you had just done it in a cutscene, rather than make me do it. Because then I'm like waiting. I'm like, okay, I ain't gonna do this, you know. And that was where I came to it. I'm like, I'm not gonna do this. Yeah. I'm just gonna wait here. And then I get stabbed. And I'm like, okay, well, hold on now. Like, I can't even not do this. I have to do this. And I waited again, and I get stabbed. I'm like, okay, well. This kind of sucks.
I think in that term, I think the game that does that very well is Nier. Because there's certain moments in Nier, at least Automata or whatever you want to call it, because I haven't gotten too far in Replicant to know, but there are like people, you like boss fights or whatever that you have to fight,
Yeah,
but they don't attack you. You engage in it. So you can like run away from them and then not even do anything. They'll just stand there. So to engage the fight, to like start the violence, you yourself have to do it. And that, I feel like that ties in very well to the story. So if it's done right, then I get it. But I can see the Last of Us thing for sure.
Yeah, and I think it can be done better is probably where I'm kind of steering this towards. Is like, like if it's, you know, like the near thing that you described, if it was like, okay, if I don't do it, then, you know, maybe he... if the game over was... Okay, like, let me just describe a slightly different scenario here. If the game over ends up being that, you know, you either shoot this person or they do something bad to the person you're trying to, like, save kind of thing.
That makes sense.
Then I'm like, all right, I get it, and I'll do this type of thing. But if it's like, you know, you do this or somebody rushes you with a knife, I'm just like, okay, well, that's kind of dumb. Like, why would I do this?
That makes sense. There's really no alternative motive or path to take. It's just this.
Yeah, and it's not like there is a, what would you call it? It's not like there is a driving force for you to do this kind of thing either. It's kind of, it doesn't give you, like, you know, in seeing yourself fail in this game over state kind of thing, you don't see a motive to like, oh, why would I do this, right?
Yeah.
Like, in my head, like, you know, if I had not cared about seeing the end of the story and stuff and just kind of knowing, like, what the exact end was, I probably would have just been like, okay, well, you know, this is game over. This is where my story ends. And I just shut the thing off.
Yeah.
But I was just like, you know, I've made it this far. I'll see it through and stuff to see
what happens. Pop that last trophy.
Yeah. And I was just like, man, whatever. So, yeah, it's you know, I think it could have been tweaked a little bit here and there to make it...
Yep.
Feel like you're still playing something rather than kind of being forced to go and do something type of thing.
That makes sense.
So yeah, that's my first one, Michael. Okay, what is yours, Michael? What's your all first right? One?
This one, I definitely know I'm in the minority, probably.
Okay.
And definitely with you for sure.
That's what hot takes are all about.
Yeah. You know? So, no order. I just want to get this one first. I think the Breath of the Wild weapon durability mechanic is genius.
Oh.
Now, let me preference.
Oh, that is a hot take.
It is. I understand. I can see why people don't like it completely. You've said your opinion. Other people have said your opinion. I'm like, I get that.
Yeah.
But for me, and for what Breath of the Wild is, it made every encounter different and more engaging. Okay. Like, I had to find, if I only had like a stick and an axe that was blinking red, I had to find a way to use that axe and that stick, and then the bombs around me, and then items around me, and have them hit the other person. Every battle was different.
Okay.
And I felt like if it had just like the Master Sword, like, or just one weapon that was really good, I feel like in most games the gameplay will get a little tedious and repetitive at some point.
Okay.
But I feel the weapon durability just gave the game another layer. Like each fight, each like, but goblin, or that's what they're called,
Hobgoblin? What do you call it? Because I wanted to say hobgoblin, but that's not it. It's
that
like
sounds right.
Moblin.
There you go.
Hobgoblin is a D&D thing. Oh, that's close. I was like, close. It's close. Yeah.
But every fight with them was different. Every fight with like those rock sentinels was different. Every fight with a lion creature was different. No fight felt the same to me. Okay. I died a lot because I didn't use the right approach, but there were so many different approaches you could take with... You can have the Master Sword and you charge it up. You could have a really good axe or a good, really good lightning rod, only for so long. So then you would have to improvise and change your gameplay and come in at a different angle. And I loved that about Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I do appreciate the you know, that piece that you're kind of talking about there, because I hadn't really thought about it ever like that. But man, weapon durability in games suck real hard.
Oh no, I definitely understand it, but I wouldn't want it any other way. I hope they have that again in Breath of the Wild too, personally. Yeah.
Now, I hope they do too. But so there are times in games where I appreciate weapon durability. Usually it revolves around the ability to actually repair your stuff. Because if you find something that you like, you know, like in the real world, right? Real world, like, okay, if we're talking like I don't know, Jin Sakai, like, comes into this game and he's like, I have my, you know, my katana and I'm going to use this.
Yeah.
because I'm a samurai and that's what I do, right? So if he jumps in there and then his thing breaks, it's like, well, that sucks. I gotta pick up this stupid like mob goblin stick or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, well, okay, that's kind of annoying. I gotta fight with the stick and stuff now. But yeah, like if there is a actual way, like, you know, you could still kind of have that type of like you kind of talk about that type of need to kind of think differently about battles and stuff. And then you have a little bit of kind of like a scare as well, where like if you have an ability to, you know, not in combat but out of combat, actually repair your items and whatnot, then you have to, you know, roll the dice and be like, okay, I'm going to do a few more hits with this sword that's blinking, mm-hmm. and hope it doesn't break, because I don't know if it will break it or not, right? Like, you know, maybe if you like count like strokes and whatnot there, you can kind of do it, but I think even there, it's like the larger the hit you do, or like if you throw it, it does like, you know, it's like two hits against like the durability and then it may break faster kind of thing.
Right.
But like if you're kind of like trying to manage your things and then have to remember to switch between stuff or else risk breaking it, because then you can get out of combat and actually like repair your things, then I think that's a cooler mm-hmm. way to do it. But when it's just like, no, nah, it's going to break no matter what. I'm just like, oh, that sucks. Like, I don't want to do
right.
this.
I get that. I think that for at least for me, it gives me more initiative to pick up everything.
Yeah.
Or pick up everything I can use as a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like if I had that repair feature, I wouldn't pick up as much. Because mm-hmm. I would just be, okay, I'm going to repair this. Let me go back. Oh, I'll walk away. I'll have to repair this again kind of thing. Yeah. And I think that would just, at least for me in Breath of the Wild, it would take away a little bit of the mm-hmm. the charm of it. Because I'll bring up an example like Borderlands. Mm-hmm. Thousands and thousands of guns you can pick up and stuff.
Yeah.
But if I find one that I really like, or three that I really like, because you have set three guns,
yeah,
I tend to just keep those three mm-hmm. for as long as I can, or most of the game, if it's really good, and then I don't really pick up anything else. Mm-hmm. And that feature is just lost on me kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I like that Breath of the Wild almost forces you to pick up everything and try everything kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just that initiative to do it.
Yeah, like it's... Maybe too, like if it would, because there's, you know, for all these things, I think there's like small tweaks that could be made that would make it more enjoyable for people. Mm-hmm. Like if it's, you know, I know in there they have like the Master Sword, which doesn't actually break, but gets really weak. And then you have to
charge
like,
it,
yeah, charge it or kind of do whatever to bring it back to its like, you know, pristine form. And I think they have that spear, like Spear of Zora or something like that too, which does a similar kind of thing. If it breaks, then you bring it back to this dude and he'll repair it kind of thing. So, like, there's certain things that I think, like, you know, if it's, like, one or two things, it's like, okay, well, I got to keep on going back if I really want to use this. And then at that point, it's like, do I just throw it away and not even
throw it at somebody?
Like, do I even care to hold on to it? And it's just like, it's just taking up inventory space now, and I got to actually, like, you know, get new things and then break those on people.
What are you using the inventory for anyway, you know? Weapons and shields. Throw
just,
people.
Just let me carry way more stuff here.
I want to be over-encumbered.
But, yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, things like that, if you can find some way to kind of tweak it, like, add a few more weapons that... you know, don't break, and then therefore, like, you're not just like stuck in a battle where you've broken all your things and you're just like, well, now I throw bombs at you for like 20 minutes until
throw
your health
boxes
is...
at you and all that stuff.
Yeah, because then it's like, yeah, if you run out of weapons and you're in this situation, it's like, well, okay, I probably have to, like, you know, I've stayed alive for however long it's been in this fight, and now I have to, like, let myself die because I have no more weapons to use, and there's no weapons around me.
Just, well, you can, like, still use all your, the Sheikah Slate and stuff. Use that to your advantage. You can pick up people and throw it at people, and bombs, and they have chests, like, you can pick up and throw at them.
Yeah, that's why, like, I think the one I think of is the, what is it, the first time you fight one of those, like, centaur dudes who have the crazy lightning arrow stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's
you
no...
You need
there's
to
no,
be ready for those.
There's no weapons around there, and there's no boxes to, like, grab and throw at people. So it's like, you've got, like, bombs, which do, like, next to nothing against these things. And then you've got your weapons, but if all your weapons break, it's just like, well... All right, I guess I have to, like, die.
<Come back.
laughs> I have to, like, purposefully let myself, like, die or just leave, I guess, if you can.
Yeah.
And
you can,
go
yeah.
get some more
you
stuff.
Just go down, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I'm just like, it sucks. I don't like this. I don't like this feeling like this.
You loved it.
Oh, man. But yeah.
That's my pretty probably biggest take there.
That's a good one. I like that.
Okay, number two for you.
All right, number two. I'll get the other PlayStation one out of the way here because it's related to my first one. I think the best PlayStation first-party studio isn't Naughty Dog, and I think it's Insomniac.
Very good. One of my hot takes is going to be, I don't think Naughty Dog makes great games, gameplay-wise. Stories are a different story, but gameplay, they're not great. But yes, I agree with that one too.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then Michael already kind of hit on a few points there. So, like, in my mind, I'm like, you know, who cares about how many individual hairs you can see on Joel's face, you know? Like, who cares, like, how the beads of sweat and sand looks in Uncharted, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care about, like, only the looks of these things. I made almost Michael choke on his water over here. But, like, you know, it's not about just the looks, right? It's about the, for Naughty Dog games, it's more the experience kind of thing. And while the experience is fun, the games aren't usually enjoyable to play either. They're kind of just like, you know, going through the motions to like keep your character slightly alive in these like ridiculous situations you find yourself in. Ridiculous in a good way, not in a bad way. But, you know, when you kind of take a step back and you're like, okay, well, Naughty Dog games are like, you know, they're mainly about the story, right? People are just like, no, the gameplay is not the thing. It's the story that gets you in there. And I'm like, okay, well, Spider-Man and Miles Morales over here, great stories on par or maybe sometimes a little bit better than Naughty Dog stuff. And then, you know, visual fidelity still looking fantastic. And also gameplay is way better. And I'm just like, come on, guys. You can do better than just this like mediocre gameplay that you got going on. Because you don't need to act like this is like a crutch, you know, like you don't kind of be like, no, it's all about the story. We don't care about the gameplay and how like that's not super fun. It can still be fun, you know, and it's just I think that is, you know, something that gets overlooked a lot. And, you know, Insomniac's doing it way better. So just
even
you know.
Like the Uncharted games, I don't think any of the Uncharted games have great gameplay.
Yeah, I know.
Even the fourth one was the best one, I think, but even then.
It was the most fluid because they added in the
grapple
rope. Yeah. But even then, I'm just like, yeah.
It's nothing. Personally, I think Tomb Raider does it better, gameplay-wise.
Oh, are you talking about the new Tomb Raiders?
Yeah, the new Tomb Raiders. Okay, not, not the old ones.
I was like, I've never played the old one, so I can't.
Not the new Tomb Raiders that are, like, Uncharted.
Gotcha.
But even going back to, like, Jack and Daxter. Mm. Like, out of all, like, those old 3D
platformer
collectathons. I like the stories of Jack and Daxter,
yeah,
and the settings and stuff and the characters, but the gameplay was always incredibly frustrating and just not great. I died so much in those games, especially two is my I have a bad taste of two in my mouth. The story's good, but man, that game is so bad to play.
Wow, dang. So and like, it's not even like the because I feel like I've watched you play maybe some of one and a little bit of two where it was like it wasn't even the it didn't seem like it was the sense of like the you know because how some old platformer games is like you got to make it at exactly this exact point you have to jump from this very edge of this thing or else you don't make the jump at all like that kind of thing is usually like in my mind like that's a poor platformer decision because it should be more about kind of reaction and stuff not like. Timing of like the exact area where you jump but yeah I mean like that always looked frustrating and even just like the I don't know the combat never looked super engaging or anything like that
it's really not
yeah it always seemed a little bare bones and then again story was kind of more of the focus and everything
that's why I think Sly Cooper is a much better game because the gameplay is much more engaging much more fun
and it's even Ratchet and Clank great. The gameplay of Rift Apart was amazing. I'm just like, oh my gosh, dude. This is how you do it well and still have a cool story and then still also look amazing and then, you know, it's the whole package.
Yep.
And they don't get the love they deserve over there.
No, they don't.
Also, Miles Morales' hair in the, you know, newest game, amazing. Looks way better than Joel's hair.
I definitely believe it.
But yeah, there you go.
Okay.
I'm dropping that dynamite there, Michael.
That's a good one. Now... This is a good segue. Mm. This one you'll probably you will definitely disagree with.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I like how you brought it up so I can bring this one up.
It all just flows together.
It does. Now, bear with me. Spider-Man PS4 is good, but not great.
Okay.
Now, if I were to give it a ranking on like a 10-point scale, don't really like doing it, I would give it either a 7 or an 8.
Okay.
Now, hear me out.
I was like, the 7, I was like, you're crazy.
Right, now, hear me out. I know I'm definitely in the minority here, 100%. The traversal, amazing. Great part of the game. Probably my favorite part. I just swing around the town, city. Yeah. Great. Gameplay, was good. It very, I don't want to say very, similar to the Arkham games. It has a lot of different things, engaging stuff. But at times it got repetitive and stuff. The thing that probably pulls it down the worst for me, I don't even say worst, because I'm not saying it's a bad game, is the story.
Wow.
Now, it has a good story, but maybe because I've read a lot of comics in my life absorbed, thank you. I was going to say insorbed. Absorbed a lot of comic book stories and stuff.
Gotcha.
It was very predictable and very par the course of what a superhero story, for me at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the emotional parts at the end, not going to spoil it, and the kind of twist stuff was cool, but how they, I think, handled the, what are they called, the hateful eight, or all the villains and stuff, whatever that called.
What you're talking about, was kind of seven or something.
Yeah,
or?
That I think that's it, actually. I think
Hateful Eight, that's another movie.
That's a movie. It's a very good movie. But how they handled that was very, I don't want to say very lackluster, but kind of lackluster.
Yeah, I agree with you there. That was,
because when they all got really, this is cool, and then they just became very like mini boss fights, and that was it. The I always felt the shift to like Mary Jane and then the Miles Morales, where you had to like sneak around and things. I was like, this could have been a cutscene for me. It's not really.
Yeah.
Could have been left out of the game. And then that kind of brought the story down. But I'm not saying it's a bad game by any means. It's good. 7, 8. But I don't think I have it as high as most people do.
Okay. No, I see what you mean there. So yeah, in terms of, you know, just talking about that stuff, I think that I agree with the, you know, having the Mary Jane thing happen like once, I'd be like, okay, cool. That's cool. That's a little bit of a spoiler for Miles Morales in a little bit. It's kind of like midway through the game, or maybe even somewhat early, because I think what they consider Act 2 is more like the Sinister Seven being released and stuff. So you're still kind of in early parts of the game there. But then like being transitioned to like you're playing as Miles during this crazy like catastrophe and stuff, that was a cool like, oh wow, like didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Almost kind of like we just talked about bashing on Naughty Dog a little bit over here.
We would be Naughty Dog.
Not really bashing, but like talking about how like, you know, Naughty Dog for a bit, and then, you know, Nathan, or playing as young Drake in number 3 and stuff, that was a cool like reprieve from your normal kind of thing and whatnot. But again, there it only happened once.
Yeah.
And you know, with Miles only happened once, but that was a cool moment. Mary Jane popping up again, I think like once or twice more after that, I was like, all right, I don't need this.
Yeah, that's okay. I get what's happening and I understand what you're doing, but kind of taking me out of it a little bit.
Yeah, you can just tell me that you went and did this detective work and snuck in and found some things.
Yes.
And it was dangerous and almost got caught and stuff like that.
Right? Just let me swing around as Spider-Man. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, all right, that's what I want to do. I want to go fight some baddies and swing around and have my spider sense.
Yeah,
but okay, all right.
And like, and the character's great. I like Peter Parker. I like Mary Jane. I liked, I like the Easter egg that they have in there and stuff. The villain, his motive was cool, but again, he's very par the course for a superhero villain that I've seen before. But again, I don't think you can, with superhero stories, even like with any of the great DC films and great Marvel movies, you can only do, I feel like, so much with a superhero story that hasn't already been done, unless you like really shake it up and like kill like everybody permanently for like from like the onset. So maybe that's part of it too, but it was good.
Yeah. And I think like the things, you know, because those things, I think in my mind do bring them down somewhat, because I get the points that you're making there. But I think what brings it up for me from those like somewhat like points was like the gameplay itself. And you said the gameplay was good, and I'm just like, oh man, it's such so great. It was way better than just good. But I think it depends too on how you use the different things that they give you, like the things that I didn't like in there. The screwball challenges or whatever, because obviously you got to do a bunch of these things if you want the platinum and stuff.
I did none of them. I did like one and that was it.
Screwball as a character is just super annoying, and she's meant to be that way. But there are some interesting things there where they get you thinking about how to use your your gadgets together kind of thing, rather than just like, you know, I mean, one of your gadgets creates like a shockwave type of thing to push people back, right?
Right.
But if you, I forget what it was, you, what was it? I think you can, yeah, you can put like a trap on the ground, and I forget if it was like a, it was like a web trap of some kind. Put a web trap on the ground, and, you know, it, or like, you know, throw, I'll just say throw like a web bomb out, right? So it blows out, and then, you know, all these people are covered in like spider webs. If you then transition from that to like shooting them with the shockwave and it hits them up against the surface, they then are stuck to the surface and out of combat. So that's cool. Those kind of things are cool, where it's like, oh, I didn't think about doing this type of weird combos, but this is what Spidey would do in these situations. So that's like an, okay, now I have like more moves in my repertoire than what I originally thought was possible. So those things I appreciated. And I think I've told on the podcast before where I had like dreams of like, different Spider-Man combinations, and I was like, oh man, I'm gonna go try this out when I wake up, because that was pretty cool. So yeah, that was what I was like, okay, I felt super, like by the end of that game I felt super proficient at like the fighting. And then I think even getting back to there for the DLC, the three like DLC like City Never Sleeps episodes and stuff, when I got back to it, I was like playing a little bit, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm pretty, I got back up to speed pretty quickly. And then it was just like, okay, just flying around, zipping past dudes and fighting bad guys. And I was like, oh, this is a lot of fun. Yeah.
It is fun. And I'm still super excited to try Miles Morales, because I liked him as a character, and I think the story will be good.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to say, to finish there, I think it also could be, even when I look back at the Arkham games or whatever, and any like superhero media or something, I think I may be hitting the point where I'm just worn out on superhero stuff. Like, I've noticed in the last couple of years that I'm like, I haven't really been excited for anything superhero related. Like, what about the Marvel movies are cool. The Marvel versus Guardians game looks cool. Avengers didn't really. The Batman new movie that's coming out.
Well, you're talking about eventually. Avengers, the video game, right?
Yeah, the video game. Yeah, yeah. The movies are good. The movies are good.
I was about to be like, wow, this is like several hot takes in here.
I like movies. The Marvel's movies, but I think I at this point where I'm like, if I see it, I see it. If I play it, I play it. I'm not really as excited as I once was for superhero content. So that could be part of it too.
Yeah. I think that's fair too. Over time, like my enjoyment of certain things like waxes and wanes. So I get it. That makes sense. But I'm going to just throw out a little bonus hot take, which I don't know, it's not, maybe it's not a hot take by some people's standards, but I think that Miles Morales is a better Spider-Man game than just the original game.
That makes sense. So,
yeah, and that's just because the, you know, story was great as like his origin type of thing, and then like, you know, I felt like more emotions were kind of felt from that overall story as opposed to kind of like, you know, the previous one. But then too, it's, you know, it came after the one that set things up for it, so it's tough to, you know, to really kind of, you know, I wouldn't say it's not tough to make that kind of deduction and stuff anyways. So all right, so number three, Michael, and I think
went for a spicy one.
All right, yeah I was gonna say like, oh yeah, because if we have enough time we'll go to five. So my number three was, there are just literally too many games out there, and a lot of them are just trash, and I think they shouldn't exist.
Oh, wow, you're really taking it far then.
I'm taking it real far, because, man, Michael, I tell you, and I'm not going to say that I am, like, above some of this trash, because some of these trophy games nowadays, total trash.
Oh, yeah.
Like, without a doubt. So, and I, and so I'm self-bashing at this time as well.
Self-aware, what'd you get?
Yeah, I'm self-aware that I have bought some of these garbage titles for the sake of, you know, personal weaknesses when it comes to like easy platinums and stuff, but I haven't done that for quite a while. I think am I right?
Right.
I think it's been a little bit. It's been a little bit at least. Maybe good. At least like a month. I don't know.
Might go back down the rabbit hole eventually.
Eventually, yeah. And so like, yeah, in terms of just, you know, these like all these crazy, there's so many games that come out nowadays. Like I miss, and I don't know if this is just a nostalgia thing or it's just, you know, we have less money and so therefore we had less access and didn't realize there were a lot of games out there. But like, I miss there not being a crazy amount of games all the time, because maybe it's the fact that like there's a lot of interesting looking games that maybe end up being like mediocre or just like okay or like good kind of thing. And that piled on top of like the garbage pile of like other games that just aren't worth your time and like money and all this stuff are just kind of like all mixed together where it's just there's too many things to look at.
You have to filter everything out.
Yeah, it's like you have to personally filter everything. Mm-hmm. And I think, and this is kind of going a little bit further, I think that companies should be the ones filtering these things, not us. Like, yeah. It shouldn't just be the company is like, oh, yeah, you want to make a game? Yeah, sure. We'll put it on the store. You give us, like, you know, 30% of whatever each title, like, sells and stuff. And then you keep the rest and what kind of stuff goes there. So, like, I don't know, a garbage game that sells for, like, $1 on the store, they get 30 cents for and they're fine with it. Because, you know, it sells to, like, I don't know, 500 to 1,000 people who want the easy trophies. And then mm-hmm. they've got an extra, I don't know, whatever, 500 times, we'll just say 1,000. 1,000 times 30 cents, they got an extra, like, $30 over there.
Yeah, there you go.
$30? $300?
You're asking the wrong person.
30 cents? Hold on. 0.3. There we go. Math. 0.3 times three zeros. What is that? Or added three zeros. I think that's 30.
You're probably right.
I think $30. That's not worth it, Sony. You know, I'm singling Sony out here. It's just not worth it, guys.
Dude, now do you think the... it could be like a side thing. Do you think the hype culture... if that's a real thing, has played into part of that? Because I know now everyone just wants to be excited for, like, oh, the next game, give me more games, I want more announcements stuff. Do you think?
I think probably,
companies
yeah.
are like, oh, we need to make more games, get more people excited for this stuff, let more things come in kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think, like, part of it's probably that, but I think part of it, too, is, like, it's now becoming easier and easier to make games.
True.
And I don't know if... I think that's the best way to say it. I don't know if everyone who makes games makes it because they are passionate about this, like, amazing project that they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem like sometimes these games are just made because it's, like, an easy, like, money type of thing. Like, it's all like about money. the easy platinums and achievement kind of games and stuff. Also, sometimes the weird ones, like I forget their name already, but the weird, like, church games and stuff. Just like, what the heck is happening over here?
They're everywhere.
We got, like, Jane's Bowling Part 2 over here coming out, and it's got some kind of Bible verse in there. And I'm just like, what is happening with this? So, yeah, I think, honestly, it's a real thing. I think, honestly, like, companies should be, like, cutting down the number of things that come into their stores. For them, they're probably not going to, because... You know, they don't care. They get the money either way at some point because someone buys these things at some point. And I'm just like, you know what, guys? Like, don't let yourself become like a store that's got a bunch of trash and then it kind of like some cool stuff on top of it. You know,
I think it might be too late.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, some people will realize cool things are happening, but a bunch of cool stuff will get like lost in the shuffle of all this garbage. And I'm just like, you know, just cut it out.
Like games like if like a Chicory or... other small indie games didn't get that marketing mm-hmm. that Sony gave it, or other like kind of marketing from like online, people aren't going to know about it because you have to search through the search things and you're like, oh, what is this game? I haven't heard about this. This is at the bottom of the list.
And it's like there aren't that many hardcore people out there us that are going to go through a week's worth of like new titles just to see like one or two cool things that are kind of somewhere in between all this other garbage.
We are the minority.
Yeah, exactly. Like we're the ones who, you know, want to see this cool stuff and you're making it harder for us to find it. So it's like, I don't know what people gain from this. Like,
money. That's what the company's
like $30, like we just said, maybe from 1,000 people buying this garbage thing. But yeah, it's just it's upsetting.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah, there you go. Take better care of
Jim Ryan specifically things. Listens to this podcast. Now he's gonna change his ways.
I wouldn't even say that Sony's the worst of it. Like Nintendo's for sure so the worst
bad
at it.
So bad at it.
And I think it's like for a while, PC like Steam and stuff was mm-hmm. probably still is actually like the king of all this. Just you know, random garbage type of thing.
Yep.
But Nintendo got real bad with it. Like I don't know. A few to several years ago, but mainly with the Switch, and mm-hmm. then nowadays, kind of it's like everybody, yep. everybody's got it. Even Xbox to a smaller degree, it seems like has that kind of same thing. But I don't see it as much.
No, yeah,
probably because I'm not also searching through the store as much. But you know, I know it's there. It's there on everywhere now, and it's just nobody cares.
You look on the Switch store, online store, whenever, and you go to the most the top 25 bought games or whatever digitally. And like the top five sometimes are like just games that are like $1.99, mm-hmm. $2.99.
Yep.
Because people are just, oh, I can buy the game real quick.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this game's talking about like a RPG in Scary Halloween Town. Oh, okay. I love it. I'll do it. I'll do it. It's like, oh my gosh, guys.
That's the thing. The Switch don't even have trophies, so people are just buying them.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing too. Is like some people just buy these things. I'm just like, but why, guys? Like, is it just like, I don't know, parents looking through a thing? They're like, okay, kid, I got you.
Okay, kid, you don't have a name. Okay, kid,
I got you this. We're on a no name basis over here. I got you this. Like, what's one of them? I don't know. Got you this Tales of Arcadia visual novel. You just go ahead and watch this thing because it was $2, and I'm
there. You go.
Now let me watch my TV show.
Like, basically,
that's what I imagine sometimes probably happens. But I'm just like, it can't be worth it, guys.
No, I don't. I agree with that for sure.
Yeah. What's your third one? You say, Michael.
Okay, so this one I came to a realization on this one. Mega Man games are not fun.
Wow.
Now, again, this is a real hot take. I've tried, like, the music. The best part of the Mega Man games for me is the music. The music in the games that I played is fantastic and stuff.
Yeah.
I love it. But the gameplay and then that just loop of what you're doing, I just don't. I've hit a wall with it. I don't like it.
The appeal.
I don't see the appeal. Like, yeah. I've tried Mega Man 2. I've tried Mega Man X. I've tried Mega Man the Collection. I've bought it, and each of those I spent like an hour or two or three. I'm like, man, I just I can't get into this. Even what's that? Azure Striker. Is that what it's called?
Oh yeah, Azure Striker Gunvolt.
When you were talking about it a long time ago, I'm like, oh, this looks cool. I'll try this. I bought it. PS4. I like the character. I guess I kind of like the characters in the story, and it's very anime, and I like that. But I'm like, oh, this is just like Mega Man. Oh, and I just stopped. I haven't picked it up since. I'm like, something about that gameplay appeal. I know people like it, and it could also be because it's a boss rush, and I'm not normally a huge fan of boss rush games. Kind of. Mm-hmm. Just I don't see the appeal in it personally.
I think it's like. Yeah, I could see how you might say, yeah, it's like a boss rush. Because really, it's like you go through these levels and, like, you know, fight dudes. But you can also kind of run past a lot of things and not even fight them. So, yeah, then you're kind of just going from boss to boss. But, yeah. I think this will probably be something we talk about, like, actually, maybe even... Yeah, I think that was the one I was thinking of. Maybe like later in the episode. Maybe I'll put in a pin and we'll come back.
Two
to
pins.
It. If we go, we got two pins. I've probably forgotten already what the first pin
don't
was.
Don't remember either.
So, oh well. But yeah, I think over time, yeah, Mega Man is something that I just don't find as enjoyable either anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got you there.
Like games like Shovel Knight is kind of in the same vein, but
way more fun.
Way more fun. The look of it and your. The platforming and the characters and all the different things you can do. Mm-hmm. Super cool.
Yeah.
But Mega Man is just not for me, I guess.
That's okay. I mean, they're pretty old by this point, too.
Yeah.
When's the last time we got a Mega Man game? Mega Man 11,
I think so.
I mean, if you want to count, whatever, Mighty Number 9, I guess you can count that, too. I
didn't touch that.
But, yeah.
Heard it here first. Mega Man sucks. No, he doesn't. It's just not fun.
Yeah. Okay, now I got you there. Okay.
What is your number four?
All right, so in case we don't do a fifth one, my number four is that, and you got to listen carefully here, chargeable controllers are trash, just straight trash. I prefer having batteries in my controllers. And you know, with the possible exception of the Switch Pro controller, I'll say that. Because for some reason, the Switch Pro controller
lasts forever.
Yeah. Unless it's been like, you know, months since I've touched the controller and then it's just dead. And I'm like, all right, fine. I get it.
Yep.
But Switch controller lasts forever.
Mm-hmm.
The PS5 controller lasts a little bit longer than the PS4 controller
does. PS4s die on me all the time.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, they die all the time. And then I think even when... No, I don't think I ever had a chargeable Xbox controller. But... All my Xbox controllers in memory, and even the Series controllers nowadays, they're great. Mm-hmm. They almost never die. And when I see the thing pop up, I'm like, wow, I haven't seen that in like several days. That's crazy. So I'm just like, why don't we just all switch back to these battery controllers? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to have to constantly charge my controllers.
Do you find, because I think what would be an issue for me there, again, I agree with that. Do you think just having that constant. How long do the batteries last? Because you would have to.
So,
because I don't use batteries for much for anything anymore.
Are you talking about? Sorry, you're talking about for the charge controllers?
Yeah, or yeah, just controllers like a battery pack. Because I think that would be the only thing I would have batteries for. Personally.
Yeah, I think like so. Like, and that's the thing too. Is like I think I've done some of the chargeable battery packs type of thing, and that works even better than just like a battery built into the controller. Mm-hmm. For some reason, the battery built into the controller is just always bad.
Yeah.
And I almost probably want to say it's probably like that on purpose to an extent. They probably make it as like okay as possible.
Some more people buy.
Yeah. So because, yeah, it's not even just controllers. It's just like, you know, the world. Like artificial, what's it called? Not scarcity. What's the term? It's like, it's basically like it's the idea that like, you know, if you make something that lasts forever, people will never buy something else again, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to make it so that it, you know, seems like it will become like inferior eventually type of thing. Or yeah, like the Switch. Michael's tapping the Switch from behind him. Or you basically have to have it so that, you know, if you have a controller, right, and it's, you know, working pretty decently in the beginning, and then towards the, you know, after a year or two starts to like hold a battery charge for like maybe a couple hours and it's dead. Mm-hmm. Then you're just like, oh man, I guess I gotta buy another controller. And you do it. And so that kind of mindset is what drives this whole like stupid chargeable batteries being awful in these things.
Yeah.
Except for the Switch for whatever reason, because maybe it's just because the Switch controller, the Pro controller, doesn't have all the bells and whistles of other things.
Maybe.
So it draws less battery power.
I wonder, does the like the PS4 controller like not turn off or anything, or does, because I feel like the Pro controller turns off.
Oh, you can set it so it'll turn itself off. Oh, okay, after, yeah, like, you know, however, if you want to do it after like a minute or two of not being active, or like 10 minutes, you can do that. And you can do it with the PS5 controller too, but mm-hmm. It's just they just don't last as long. No, as just don't. Battery packs or even just individual like batteries. And I don't know, like I still have AA and AAA batteries around the house just in case we need them for something, mm-hmm. type of thing. We don't always use batteries, but, you know, when I've been playing my Xbox more often and then they're like, oh, hey, go change your batteries. I'm like, all right, cool. Ooh. And I go out to the living room and I grab some batteries and I put it in, yeah. And I'm good for another like month.
Find a long enough cord or sit super close to the TV.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like, you know, obviously I know to get around this, I've bought more controllers than my one person can actually use, so that I end up just cycling through things. And I'm just like, ah, well, this is kind of dumb.
Think now, would you ever go back to using cord controllers?
Corded controllers? No. Okay. And that's why I'm just like, you know, just make at least, I wouldn't say take away chargeable controllers. I just say, just give me the option to buy a PS5 controller I can put batteries in, you know?
Smart.
Knowing, extra options, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Knowing Sony, though, since Microsoft has it, they either one, won't do it.
Yeah.
Or because they're stubborn. Or mm-hmm. two, they won't do it.
Yeah. They won't do it just because they don't want that look.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm just like, ah, so annoying. But, yeah.
Okay, I agree with that one, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny how, like, these are, like, our hot takes, but we both kind of agree with what we're saying.
We completely understand. There's no, like, hot takes like, oh, what would be a hot take? I can't even think of one right now. Because
Mario is the worst character ever.
Sonic is the greatest game character of all time. I would say that, though.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for something Sonic related, but
okay. I thought about it. I'm like, that's it's part kind of course just, for me.
Yeah, it's run of the mill for people who listen to our show.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, so then my last one, mm-hmm. is another good segue. You're just leading into mine.
Man, yeah.
I don't think PlayStation controllers, minus the PS5, because I don't have never used it.
Yeah, yeah.
Aren't good.
Wait, so you don't think that they are good?
They are good. Like, I would say comfort-wise.
Oh, gotcha.
They are my least favorite holding controller.
Oh, okay. So you put the... Because you have the Xbox One and
the Switch Pro. Xbox, I think, has the most comfortable controller for me to hold in my hands. Mm. Switch Pro controller is similar to the Xbox. It's longer.
Yeah, yeah.
And it fits my hand nicely. Mm-hmm. The PS4 one, it's smaller,
yeah,
and I feel like I can't rest my back two fingers and have my thumbs on the button. It's almost like I have to raise it up like this.
Oh, you move do it the down. Double. You do the double finger.
Oh no! I just do the one.
Weird. Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, and I put my back here. But since the PS4 controller, even the PS3 controller, and the two and the one are similar in size,
yeah,
it's more compact. So I have to like adjust my hands multiple times when I'm holding it.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So like they're fine controllers, and I think I like the analog stick. I like where it's placed, but for some reason it's just either I wouldn't consider my hands large.
Yeah, I feel like we probably have similar
like average size hands. Yeah. But for some reason I always feel like I have to adjust it, and like the ends of the things always like are jamming into my thing because I have to adjust my fingers down to the buttons and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
It's not great.
Okay.
Now the PS5 one could be different because I haven't held one before.
Yeah, I should just let you hold one. Probably. I want to see how you think. Because in terms of size wise, I do remember distinctly going from PS3. And I got it super late. Mm-hmm. Going from the PS3 controller to the PS4 controller when it came out. And I was like, whoa, this is an improvement for sure. Like, yeah. It's a little bit bigger and it felt better. And I was like, okay, I like this. And then I think it took a while because I was I played mostly Xbox before PS3/PS4, getting one of PS3 and PS4. And then I was mostly just PlayStation, and then eventually got an Xbox One kind of thing. And yeah, going back to the Xbox One controller, I was like, yeah, this feels real good.
Yeah.
Right. Size a little bit bigger than the PS4 controller and just kind of felt better.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we switched over to, you know, current gen, like PS5 controller, feels about the same size as an Xbox One controller, I'd say.
Oh, nice.
Or it felt like it at first to me. And I was playing with that for a while, and I was like, man, this is awesome. Like, I like the feel. It's bigger. I feel like my hands, you know, are grabbing more controller, if that makes sense in a weird way. And then, like, yeah, when I actually went and played an Xbox game, I don't know, maybe like a month or two after, like, doing the PS5 for a while, the controller felt small.
Weird, yeah.
I almost remember you brought that up, yeah. And I was like, oh, this is weird. Like, I tried to play a game, and my hands don't, like, they feel like they're holding a small baby controller.
Oh, jeez.
A little bit. Not to the extent of, like, if people remember, like, the Xbox, what they call the Duke controller, like, those giant things.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
Those things were ridiculous size. No one should have a controller that large. Unless you got giant hands. But, yeah, I mean, like, it feels bigger than the Xbox controller, which was weird going back down a size. And then, for sure, like, you know, I was playing that, or playing PS5, went back to the PS4 controller, and I was like, oh, this feels real small.
Yeah.
So it was a weird kind of transition there, but yeah, but the Xbox Series X controller is not really different from the Xbox One controllers too much. But yeah, they still just feel really great. You know, it is kind of a nicer feel. I would say now the DualSense and Xbox controllers feel about comparable, maybe size wise and stuff. So maybe you'd like
DualSense. And the haptic feedback would be cool. So.
Oh yeah, that's what really sells the controller. Yeah. I think in general.
And I also probably want to say I think a lot of it is due because I'm playing more fighting games, and the PS4 controller just feels garbage playing for fighting games.
It's definitely not made for fighting games.
The dialogue, the analog stick or whatever, the D-pad sucks. Mm-hmm. The buttons just, my thumbs have to reach for it. Maybe that could be part of it, but
yeah. I think for sure, like in terms of D-pad kind of stuff, probably Xbox would be a better place to play fighting game things.
I agree.
But yeah, now PlayStation owns Evo and stuff too. So it's like, man.
They own everything.
Okay. Yeah. That's understandable. I got that.
Did you want to do the fifth one or?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do the fifth one. Fifth one. All right.
Don't say Sonic is the worst.
No. This is going to be a little weird sounding, but stick with me here for a moment. Fifth one, there aren't enough scantily clad guys in games, Michael.
I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
That is
not
something
I think people think about too often.
No, that is a that is a good one.
Yeah. So, you know, or at least, you know, the outfits that women games wear are not at all, like, sensical for, like, what they're doing.
No.
Like, a lady knight whose, like, midriff is showing and stuff like that. And has
just
like
wearing a bra and that's it.
Yeah, just like a bra cuirass or whatever. It's like, no, like, if this is going to be a thing, then the guy knight has to also have, like, just, like, a shoulder pauldron.
Yep.
And then, like, nothing on his chest.
Exactly.
Maybe, a like, cloth. Maybe a, what do you call those things? Not a cloth. What's this?
Speedo?
No. Oh, my God. Could you imagine? What are those? Loincloth. There we go.
Loincloth. There you go.
I was gonna say, it's not just called a cloth.
There's a loin in front of it.
Yeah. So there needs to be, like, some more, like, evenness in these things.
Yep.
Or the female characters need to be, like, way more, like, awesome than, like, the male characters.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're clearly not wearing as much armor, and therefore are better fighters and like stronger mm-hmm. than like their male counterparts here, but that doesn't tend to be the case. I'm just like, all right, guys, like it needs to be inappropriate for both genders or like none at all. Like,
exactly. That's it. You make a customization. I'll bring up like Monster Hunter Rise because it's the one on my memory the most. Mm-hmm. Like they don't, or Monster Hunter World. They don't do like a terrible job at it, yeah. But the men are mostly with their armor upgrade and stuff. Their whole body is covered.
Yeah, it's like you see like a head poking out of this giant suit of armor.
Yes, the females, their midriff's always showing. They have mm-hmm. short shorts. They have not much on top. I'm like, how is this practical? I know why you're doing it. I don't really agree with it. Yeah, but
like I get it. It's sex appeal, guys. But 100%. But still, like, just like, make it make more sense.
Equalize it, because like, and I'll say Guilty Gear. I think Guilty Gear does it well. Part of the course, they take the old designs of like the female characters and like kind of upgrade it. Like Ino, my main in the old game, all she's wearing is a vest with no bra or anything, and like a super short skirt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And the Strive one, they gave her a bra, they put on a jacket. Her midriff's still showing, but she has shorts, she has leggings and stuff. So it's more
modest,
yes. Yeah. But the design of the women characters in Guilty Gear, I think, is above and beyond the men. Like all their designs look so good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like if they make it on a, like an evil even playing field for both, I can't see anyone being upset with that. Like there'll be those weirdos like, oh, why is she wearing clothes? I want to see body. Shut up.
Yeah, just shut up. Just go away. Crawl back to your dark corner over there, please. Don't spit out your water, Michael. That's kind of, that was, because towards the end, I was like, I don't know if I have many more hot takes, but I was like, yeah, that one's not one I hear from people a lot.
I agree with
like,
that one. That one's a good one, too.
Just change it, guys. Just change it.
Okay, my last one. This one, I guess it's kind of a hot take. Some people would agree, some people wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I think Mario Sunshine is the best 3D Mario game.
Okay.
I think it's better than Galaxy. I think it's better than Sunshine. I think it's better than
itself.
What was the new one?
Odyssey.
I think it's better than Galaxy 2, 3D World, all that stuff. And again, I know I'm probably in the minority here, but I like the world, the setting, the new mechanic of the flood feature with the water. Can be frustrating, but it was still cool. The story was cool with Baby Bowser. And you get Yoshi in there. It is frustrating and stuff, but I think that was the game where they started doing the puzzle levels and stuff.
For wait, which one? For
Sunshine.
Oh, Sunshine, gotcha.
Because you know, like Galaxy or Odyssey, they have like those secret levels where you have to
kind of go maneuver through an area
and get the star at the end or the whatever at the end. I think Sunshine started that.
Oh. Okay.
And I think it's better than 64, but it overall, and it could be nostalgia, probably some of it. But I would go back to Sunshine over all of those in a heartbeat, easily.
There you go. Did you end up picking up the 3D collection? Okay, have you played through Sunshine again since then?
I'm like halfway through Sunshine.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, I know I picked it up, and I played a decent amount of 64, and I just had never touched the rest yet.
It's like, understandable.
I want to go through and play them, but then, yeah.
Mario games are those games where you can just like, out of time, I'll pick it up whenever. Mm-hmm. You don't really need to be super invested.
Yeah, that's the other thing too, is I'm just like, I can just play this whenever, and I just never go back to it.
Yeah, but yeah, Sunshine is the best.
All right, there you go. You guys heard it here first. These are all the hot takes.
All the hot takes. You'll never hear hotter takes anywhere else.
The hottest of takes, they might say. Oh my gosh. So, Michael, now that we've gotten through the spicy section, what kind of things have you been playing lately?
Okay, I'm gonna highlight a couple because I played a good amount in the past, 3 weeks now.
That's true. Yeah.
First one I'll mention, No More Heroes, because I don't think I brought that up. Mm-hmm. I won't beat it, and I won't beat 2 before 3 comes out, unfortunately. Yeah. But it's part of the course of what I thought it was. Super weird, super like comedic and stuff, and love that. But I didn't realize it was an open world game.
Oh.
Like you have like a hub Grand Theft Auto world.
Oh, that's
like
weird.
You have a motorcycle and you just drive around the city and do like mini games and like side missions. I'm like, this was not, again, it's an older game, so it doesn't look great.
Yeah,
but it's still super good. Like it's, I think And I know Suda 51, his games, and No More Heroes aren't for everyone.
Yeah.
Because they're on the weirder side.
Yeah, for sure.
But this one definitely connects with me, and I'm really enjoying it.
Nice, nice. Would you say it's better than, what's that game? Shenmue.
I want to bring up Shenmue. That was the next one. I beat it.
Oh, nice. Oh, there you go.
And if there is a definition of a Michael game, this would be it.
Shenmue. Not Sonic, but
not
Shenmue.
Not Sonic, because I enjoy the slice of life genre.
Gotcha.
It is my favorite genre, and Shenmue is just right in that alley. It is. There's flaws to the game and stuff, but as a whole, this game, if we do like a list of like of our top games of the year, like one for like games that release this year, one for like games that we just played, Shenmue would be easily top five, maybe even top three.
That's crazy.
It is so up my alley, it's not even funny. And it is cool. I started up two a little bit, mm-hmm. and it just like starts right after one.
Oh,
it
nice.
Gives you your progress, your money, things you learn and stuff. I'm like, oh, this is really cool, I like this. So definitely recommend playing Shenmue.
Okay. We may have to change your moniker to be Michael Sega's biggest or Sega's number
it
one
might
fan.
Be because I love Sega. Like, Sega, I have a sticker.
I just thought about it. Yeah, I mean, you got a Sega sticker on your laptop. Because the Yakuza games are all like Sega.
Sonic.
Shenmue. I'm just like, yeah, these are all Sega things.
Yeah.
Like,
Michael I did is grow a up Sega playing person. Sega, so
yeah.
It makes sense. Now, Sega, as a company, they do a lot of stupid stuff. So. Yeah.
You love pachinko?
Oh, like... I've never played pachinko, I don't think. I would get invested, though, probably.
Probably, yeah. Just slap a Sega sticker. Michael's like, I'm there. We got
you
this.
You got me. But other than that, I also played... I'll highlight two other games. Mm-hmm. I bought Risk of Rain 2.
Oh, nice.
On the store, because it was like 10 bucks.
Yeah. That's a cool game. I like it.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't think I was expecting the up in difficulty the longer you stay.
Oh, yeah. That is a thing.
That was kind of like threw me for a curveball because I jumped in and monsters just started popping up.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this isn't as normal roguelikes because you don't really have a rest period.
Oh, yeah.
And the longer you stay in the level, it ups the ante. Like, it'll get, oh, I'm watching you. And then it goes to like, ha, 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 like the last one and stuff.
Yeah.
But I beat the first world. I'm like, okay, this is cool. I like this. And then I got to the second point world, and I couldn't find the transporter.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. I was there for like 35 minutes and I'm like, things are popping up, chasing me. I'm like, man, this is fun, but this would have to be something I have to be ready for because this is not what I kind of expected a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely different from, I'd say, a lot of the type of usual roguelike games that you play, I think.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, I'd say for the most part, the ones I know that we've both played and stuff is like, you know, you go from room to room and then like things change, whether it's like 2D or isometric and stuff like that. But you do have, like, you know, you defeat all the enemies, and then you got a moment to, like,
breathe. Exactly. Compose yourself. Risk of Rain is really nice. Because you can set it on easy.
Yeah.
But it just still works its way up. I'm like, oh, my God. Let me just compose myself.
Let me just have some peace over here.
Yeah. But it's fun. I like the setting and the atmosphere it gives off, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was the same way in the first Risk of Rain also, like the 2D one, where, the longer you're in the level, the harder and harder it gets. So it's like there's no ramping down. It's like you have to just keep moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a different feel. It of is, like a roguelike game.
It's cool. I like that aspect of, man, I don't think I would ever beat the game.
Yeah. That's a game. Yeah. I remember playing quite a bit when it first came out. And I'm just like, man, this is hard.
Yeah. Like, real freaking hard.
On a different level of like, I just don't have time to breathe. And I'm just like, all right,
I need to calm down. Drink some water, compose myself.
Yeah. This might be a good thing to like jump into like a run or two and then jump out to like Animal Crossing or something for you.
100%. That's a good comparison.
Yeah. So I get that. That makes sense.
And then my last one, I also bought Scarlet Nexus.
Ooh.
It was $35 digital. I'm like, I'm going to buy
Tell
it
me
now.
More, Michael. Tell me more.
And oh, anime setting, story, perfect.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. I will say at the start, though, I've watched plenty of anime and read plenty of manga.
Oh, yeah.
And I can tell with the story because those creatures are, they eat human brains.
Yeah.
I can tell this is going to take a dark turn at some point, and I don't think I'm going to be ready for it.
Nah, you'll be ready for it.
Somebody's going to die that I like, and I'm going to be like, oh, I don't want to play this anymore. I've seen too many of this. But the character, it reminds me a lot of Astral Chain in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I love Astral Chain. Characters are cool. You were right with the childhood friend and what's stuff.
Hibari?
Hibari, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Instantly loved her. Mm-hmm. She's great. Awesome connection.
Yeah.
And then that new ominous wall of a character girl that doesn't really show emotions initially.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's her... is it...
Sort of the K.
Karin?
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Or Kasane?
That's sad. That sounds familiar.
Okay. Karin is... He's one of the other dudes in the game.
Yeah. But he... She's... I can tell that he's going to end up falling in love with her, and
I almost get the sense that like it may not even be a like love there thing. May not actually be like romantic things in this game. The farther you go, maybe
makes sense, because I think you mentioned there was like a love triangle thing.
Yeah,
because she was interested in her in his older brother.
Yes,
I think, or the head guy.
Wait,
with short blue hair.
Yes,
and then and then her sister, the blonde girl, is. Looks like she likes him, the main character, and then his friend likes
her.
I'm like, oh my god! And then there was a point. I'm like, oh, this is very, very cliche, where you can like do the text messages with your friend and stuff, and other people, the brain waves.
I forget, like the SAS or something like that.
Yeah, something. There was a message saying like, oh, you're interested in Kase or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about, whatever. And then there's another text message from your friend. It's like, oh, I could see you and Hibari. I think there's like a connection there. I could see her and stuff. And he's like, oh, we've known each other for so long. I never even thought about that. I'm like, oh my god, that is that super oblivious main character cliche. I hate.
Yeah.
But gameplay is fun. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It doesn't have that impact that I thought it would.
So I think
it's very weird.
I think that, because are you playing Xbox, PS4?
PS4.
Okay. I think it is specifically a DualSense / like maybe even like next gen Xbox controller.
Okay.
Because for sure, like the adaptive triggers come into play with the whole impact kind of thing.
That makes sense.
Like when you go and use your psychic ability to kind of throw something. As you're holding, it's like rumbling at you and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like you feel like the weight of it, type of thing.
Oh, okay, that would make sense.
So yeah, that's kind of the one part there where since you bought the PS4 version,
I do have that upgrade. Yeah,
you'll have the PS5 version. So when you do play it, then play on the PS5 or at least try it out so you kind of get that feel.
Yeah, because the sword swipes, I'm like, it's hitting, and there's kind of like a delay. It looks like, but it's not as like impactful as I thought it would be. But
yeah,
it's still right up my alley.
Oh yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, it's a really cool game. I gotta go back to it. It's been a little while since I played
that. Yeah, but those are the main ones I've been playing.
Okay. Yeah, so since it's been a little while, I was kind of looking through stuff that I've been doing. I think the weird majority of the time, looking through everything so far. So there was quite a few days lately where I just haven't played anything because just a lot of things going
life.
On. But one of the ones that I've gone back to quite a bit lately. Has been Elder Scrolls Online, just weirdly just jumping into it.
That's a weird one to pick up. Not really knowing you like this game.
Yeah, so. I've been wanting to play Elder Scrolls stuff in general, and I've just kind of, I keep seeing Elder Scrolls Online, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to download this on the PS5. They got the new version over there, play it there and whatnot. I think for people who have played the game before, I might have told you this in the past, but if you're starting the main mission stuff, which now is a little bit more difficult to find, you don't just start off there. Because there's a whole bunch of different entry quests for new characters to do.
Mm-hmm.
But all the entry quest things are interesting and cool. And then if you want to play the main story thing and you end up finding the way to get there, the main prophet dude that you talk to, and I don't know if his name is, I don't think they call him the prophet. They call him something else. But he is voiced by, I was going to say the wrong name. He was voiced by Dumbledore. From the later Dumbledore in the Harry Potter movies.
Interesting.
Which is one of those weird ones where it's like, this is so cool. having Dumbledore just talking to me and stuff in this Elder Scrolls video game.
Like Harry Potter now.
Yeah, right? I'm just like, man, I can go cast magic and stuff.
You can.
But yeah, it's just this weird thing where sneaking is a little bit different in this game, but it still kind of works and kind of doesn't at times. And so it takes a little bit of the usual Elder Scrolls gameplay out of it for me, but it's just cool exploring all these different worlds lands and whatnot, I guess. So I've been enjoying that quite a bit, and it's one of those things I haven't done in a long time.
Now, small little tangent. Do you think if Final Fantasy 14 was free as well.
Oh, man.
Do you think, well, which one would be the one you would go to?
I think, yeah, I would probably play Final Fantasy 14. Just because, I mean, I was already getting into the story there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still really early. Ones. Yeah, I'm still really early in the story of Elder Scrolls Online. But, yeah, for Final Fantasy 14, like, the story was getting real cool and interesting. And I like that there's kind of these, you know, similar to Elder Scrolls, there's these different, like, factions and things and different races that have, like, bias or prejudice against, like, mm-hmm. other races and things like that you can kind of already gather. But the fact that you can just change whatever you want to do inside Final Fantasy 14 is, like, another huge factor. Yeah. Where I'm just like, yeah, you know, if I put on this other outfit, now I, like, can craft woodwork kind of things. And I just go and do that for hours. But, yeah, it's, like, that kind of thing where you can switch from just, like, regular jobs to then, you know, you go and be, like, a lancer who uses a spear. And then you're like, oh, no, I want to change to my archer class now. And I just keep doing that. And it's, yeah, it's, like, once you unlock it, you can just start leveling it up. And then, yeah, you kind of follow this own, you know, there's, like, a storyline for each subclass or, like, job that you end up taking on and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of going to see, like, all the different types and whatnot is cool. And it's, you know, it makes it feel like a more, I guess, like, vast world. Whereas, like, Elder Scrolls Online, it's still got that in there, but there are, like, pieces that are kind of hidden away a little bit. Mm. Because, you know, there's all the DLC that you can, or I guess expansions that you can buy, like, through, like, the stores and whatnot, like, the actual digital store on the consoles. But then there's also, you buy, was it, like, Elder Scrolls Online currency?
Oh.
And then you can use that to unlock even more expansions that are only available through the digital, like, game store type of thing, which is, it sounds
interesting,
complicated and a little convoluted, because it kind of is. But yeah, it's like, it's if it was, yeah, if they were both free, I'd probably be playing Final Fantasy 14. But because ESO is free,
there
I'm playing
go.
ESO. I mean, I bought it a long time ago, yeah. So like, it's not technically free, but I paid for it once. Mm-hmm. And I'm good. I don't
have,
I'm not
to
paying like
subscription.
Yeah, because it's like $15 a month for Final Fantasy 14. I'm just like, ah, I bought it. I bought like a $15 thing, which lasted me like a month originally, and came with, you know, it was on sale for like the collector's edition type of stuff. And then played like quite a bit of it during that month. And then I was like, man, I want to play some more of this. So when it was getting close to being done, I bought another, I think, 2 month period, and then just never played it during that 2 month period. I had high hopes, and I was just like, oh no, I was just playing with all these other things and I forgot about it. And
we should try it at least.
Yeah, so then I was just like, okay, I should probably not just keep on buying time for this if I don't know if I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
So yeah, if I end up going back to it, I'll do it, but not going to buy things in advance for it.
Makes sense.
So yeah, I've been playing a lot of ESO, and then played a little bit of Hades.
Oh,
on Xbox Game Pass.
Love to hear that.
So in a weird twist, because I brought my computer with me to just like, you know, bills and things like that, and things I had to work on when I went to a friend's wedding, and then played Hades on my PC. Ooh. With my Xbox controller.
You
which
PC
was cool.
Gamer now?
I'm a PC gamer, man. I'm an Xbox Game Pass gamer.
There you go.
So I played it on the PC with the Xbox controller just a little bit, like here and there. And I was like, man, I want to play more of this. So when I got back, then I played some on the console at home. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's a lot of fun.
So good.
It's been a while, but I missed playing this. So hopefully I'll play some more of that to actually get through things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one that I'll bring up was actually one that I learned about too late in terms of like, man, I was hoping, I found out about it and I was like, man, this would be a cool game to put on the fantasy draft. And then surprise, surprise, it was coming out that week. And I was like, gosh, well, darn it. And then I think I looked it up and it wasn't even listed as a draftable game.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, it's too indie. It's like, there's no way. So it's called Arietta of Spirits. And it's this cool little kind of like, I guess, yeah, it's kind of like not super top down, but it's like, you know, 2D-ish, like 2.5D-ish kind of game. Kind of like a Zelda game where you're kind of, you know, exploring through these different like parts of these maps, fighting it like bees and other things like that with your, you know, your sword. But it's got this cool kind of somewhat like more mature story going on. Like your character, your character Arietta, or she tells people to call her Ari. She and her mom and dad go to this, it's kind of like an island summer house kind of thing. And apparently, you know, in the very beginning, you get the sense of, like, you know, people are sad kind of thing, right? And they're like, man, like the mom specifically is the one who's like real sad. And she's like, it's just not going to be the same if we like go there with, and she's not there kind of thing.
Right.
And then you start to get the sense like, okay, like you guys are visiting the summer house that you used to always visit with the, with Aerie's grandma. And the grandma passed away about like a year ago, and you haven't been to the summer home since then kind of thing. And so you go out there, you're kind of, you know, continuing the family tradition, as the dad kind of says and stuff, to, you know, try to help with like the grieving process and things. And then you meet this like weird, like spirit lemur or something. not lemur. What's the squirrel? A ferret. It's like a ferret.
Okay.
Almost.
Okay.
It looks kind of like a floating ferret spirit. And he is like telling you like, okay, there's some bad stuff going on here. And now like, we're going to like, I'm giving you the power to see spirits and whatnot. And I'll help you fight these spirits, but it's going to be like tough kind of thing. So it's got this kind of cool like thing in there where it's like, okay, like you have to now fight back this kind of like spirit baddies on this island and things, because there are spirits that are kind of stuck in the world. And one of them happens to be your grandma, which you find out pretty early. So it's like, okay, this is cool. You kind of have these like cool moments and things, and there's bosses and whatnot going on. But it's got this cool kind of start from what I've seen so far. I played, I don't know, maybe like an hour or so. And it's a cool indie game. It's like $20
I like
bucks,
the art
I think.
Style. It's...
Yeah, it's got the really nice kind of like sprite art style and everything. And the, you know, game has cool animations and stuff too. Nice. Where like if your character, if you stand still long enough, your character will just kind of like sit down like in place kind of thing, and she'll just kind of like, you know, just like look around and stuff, wait for you to like move, and when you start to move she'll like stand up, and then you can start to run around.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's a cool game so far. It's very cute, very indie, but yeah, a lot of fun so far.
Nice.
Now I think we had pins, because I don't have any other games that I was, you know, jumping at the bit to like talk about some of. I played a few other things that are just very cursory, and it's like, eh, it's
really. Part of the course.
But I think the main pin I was bringing out was, I wanted to, and just kind of a small like topic to like end things with, I wanted to ask you, in terms of, you know, our current like history in gaming and stuff, right, like games we've played, you know, when we were young, going forward to like current, like nowadays, what are some game like genres you think that you used to play a lot of when you were young that you really don't play much at all anymore?
Oh, that's...
And I know I'm hitting you with a tough question, because now you got to really think about it.
See, I that's...
Do you think you play a lot of the same things?
I think I do. I don't think my... Back then, I never really played shooters. I never played fighting games, really, here and there.
Yeah. So maybe, if anything, you've just added more things.
I definitely have added more than I when younger, because I played back then was platformers.
Okay. Yeah.
And when I knew what RPGs were, like Pokemon, and then eventually started getting into RPGs, I don't think I've ever changed it. I think back then I liked tactic games either.
Ah,
I didn't really like puzzle games. I didn't really play Tetris or anything like that. Yeah, I think it... I would say there's one, maybe more racing games.
Oh, okay.
Because I played... I remember playing a lot of racing games back then, like Sega Rally and Super Hang-On and all that. Mine is like Mario Kart, because I think everyone plays Mario Kart now.
Yeah.
But back then, I think I was much more into racing games. Maybe because I was much more into multiplayers back then.
Oh, that
could be one.
Maybe that's
that,
it.
That
yeah.
is one, multiplayer genre.
Because
I was huge into that back then. I'd play with my neighbors and my friends and my sister and my family all the time. And now I'm like, forget that.
I don't want to spend time with people.
Exactly. I think there's a few in there, like Mario Kart, obviously Smash, and like... That and stuff, but yeah, probably multiplayer.
Yeah,
I've definitely changed it on.
That's Now I didn't think about multiplayer being a thing in terms of like
a genre,
but
kind of
like
thing.
A genre. But yeah, that makes that's probably something that I don't do as much anymore either. Because I used to play a lot of like, actually, I mean, shooters is probably in that category too. I used to play a lot of like multiplayer games, but also like shooters and stuff too.
Yeah,
that like nowadays I just hardly ever touch. And then I think for me too, like RPGs, I used to play a lot more, and
you
I play way
much
less
any.
Now.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like I own a lot. Don't play much. Many of them.
Yeah, I think that just also just comes down to a time thing.
Yeah, it's very much a time thing. I'm just like, man, I don't have 70 hours to do this. I'm going to do my best to try and finish Scarlet Nexus and also Tales of Arise.
Oh,
but it's going to be tough.
That was the other thing. And Yakuza.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yakuza's got to be on the back burner a little bit.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Oh, man. If anything, maybe the Judgment games.
Yes.
Because there's only two of them.
There's only two of them.
One coming out, but one currently out.
Like 40-plus hours each of them.
Oh, jeez, man.
If you do all the side, or if you want to do all the side stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think... Well, yeah, multiplayer for me, and then... I remember you played, at least back in high school, you played a lot of shooters, like COD and...
Yeah, yeah. And part of that, I think, too, was, like, we played a lot of that, like, with our, like, friend group and stuff, like, the multiplayer specifically. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think I just played a lot of it because I was constantly trying to, like...
Up your...
Be good at it type of thing, I guess. But, yeah, I don't play as much of it anymore. I think back in, what, like, 2013, I played a lot of, like, Battlefield and stuff, too, where I would just, you know, I think that was when, I had the PS3... And then, the PS4 came out, and then I was able to play it on there because you could just, $10 upgrade, and just the weird thing where you had to put the same PS3 disc into the PS4 but have purchased the $10 upgrade. Yeah, it was so bizarre. But, yeah, like, I used to play more shooters, and then, over time, just, like, way, way less. I'm just like, I don't even really care.
You did play a lot of Fortnite and Apex.
Yeah, yeah. I played a decent amount for, like, the period when they were more, like, fresh. I think Fortnite definitely got more, like, love over time.
Yeah.
And even, like, lately, I haven't touched Fortnite in quite a while. But, yeah, it's like, things, like, come and go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, waves.
Like, another one that, since you mentioned it earlier, I think that was maybe one of the pins, was, like, Mega Man games. Man, I used to play so many of those types of things, and now I'm just like, nah.
Don't have time for that.
There's no time for it. And there's not even patience. No time, because they're fast games. But it's just, like, the patience and, like... Just the, maybe it's like the preciseness of everything. Yeah. You gotta really like,
accurate.
Like super precise. Like, I'm trying to make up just a character name, like Snake Man. I think that's a real character, but maybe that's not his name. But like Snake Man, how he does these like weird like jumps where you gotta be like right underneath in this very specific area or you get hit by him when he runs past you.
That's not fun.
Also, in my mind, why when they touch you do you get hurt but they don't get hurt?
Exactly.
You
know what I'm saying? All those games like that.
Make it even, guys. No, make it even.
And then I hated the boss rush at the end, where you beat all the bosses and then you get to Wily's castle or whatever, and you have to fight them all again. I'm like,
in a row.
I don't want to do this.
But it's like, I think like some of that has kind of happened, and I feel like, in terms of like games that have like have made like a resurgence kind of thing. I mean, since we just kind of talked about it, like MMOs have kind of weirdly resurged back in like things I've been playing lately.
I guess that is a good one because I played a lot of RuneScape back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
That's
an
MMO, right?
Yeah, yeah. I would consider that. Yeah.
And then who was that?
MapleStory.
I never played MapleStory. that was your thing. What?
Gosh darn it.
Rumble Fighters wasn't really an MMO.
Oh, yeah. It was like a fighting online. Yeah, it was some fighting multiplayer kind
of
thing.
But I know there was a bunch of like smaller ones. There's like Steer played the Silk Road.
No.
That was like another MMO. Yeah.
Did you ever play, obviously there's a big one. Did you ever play WoW, World of Warcraft?
I never, at friend's house.
Okay.
And I made my character there, but I never had it and never played it in like long periods of time at all.
Yeah. I played like a little bit of WoW, but not like a lot. It was probably like a thing, I don't know, similar to other MMOs where I paid for like a month and then I was just like, man, this is pretty cool. And then eventually fell off and I'm just like,
other things.
I don't want to pay $15 a month for this.
Yep.
But what was the other one? Did you ever play Ragnarok? I think that was what it was called. It was like a very anime type of like MMO type of thing.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up for you. Because I do remember that looking really cool when I was young. And it kind of, wasn't as like, I don't know. Because MapleStory was very like 2D and whatnot. Ragnarok was kind of more of a 3D type of thing. And I liked the different character classes they had. But
it looks a lot like MapleStory, at least the character models.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it had MapleStory vibes, but wasn't like the 2D type of thing. So I remember playing some of that, but I fell off for quite a while, and then now, like, for whatever reason,
you starting jump up back in.
Final Fantasy 14, and then, ESO, I'm just like, this is a lot of fun.
Next one you get into, Phantasy Star Online.
Oh, gosh. I played a lot of Phantasy Star Online, not Final Fantasy, Phantasy Star Online. The first one, I think, on, like, Xbox.
Yeah.
And then there was, man...
Number two's out.
Sometimes, number two's out, yeah. Sometimes the online for things just breaks games.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'd always played it solo, like forever, and then went online, I think, once when I did buy like Xbox Live or something, and someone that I played a game with on there was just like, do you want this? And then there wasn't even chat and stuff. He was just like, there was maybe just like a thing where he's like, take this, and then threw it on the ground and I picked it up, and it was like there was a pet system in this game where it's like the pet would boost your character.
Okay.
And so he gave me this super, super strong pet that boosted my character's abilities like way past what they would have normally been. And then I think gave me some like, you know, awesome like weapons and stuff with it. And then the game was just totally broken for me after that.
Of course.
I was just so strong. I would just go through and just like, oh, this is awesome. But I can never play without this pet because I'd have to build myself to that level. Yeah. I'm just like, nah. I don't need to do that. So that one kind of broke things for me. I think Dying Light was kind of a similar thing where towards the end of that game, someone gave me a bunch of really strong weapons and it like broke the game.
Did Dying Light have a multiplayer?
It had the ability to do like co-op type of thing. Okay. So yeah, I think I jumped into a game where someone was on co-op wise and they just tossed out like, again, no conversation. They just tossed out a bunch of weapons and I picked them up because I was like, wow, these are really strong. And I picked them up. And then, yeah, like even nighttime was not scary anymore because those things would run at you and I just like one or two hits and just gone. And I was like, wow, this is cool. I feel so powerful. But I would have never gotten to that point slowly on my own probably because I had to play for hours and hours probably. But yeah, sometimes online breaks things too.
Yeah, that's why.
But sometimes it's fun,
you know, for sure. Fighting games, mm-hmm. getting destroyed, but winning sometimes.
Oh man, yeah, the winning is the fun stuff.
The winning is the fun part.
Oh man,
I do want to mention one thing.
Oh yeah.
I forgot to mention. I tried because I'm not a big guy on demos.
Oh yeah.
Normally, but I wanted to see how Tales of Arise was, how the gameplay was different and stuff.
Yeah.
Booted it up, played for like an hour or two. Oh my god. Oh my god! Oh, I am so excited for this game.
Yeah, dude, I'm super excited.
Looks wise, looks fantastic. Even on PS4, it's more open world as it can be.
Yeah, yeah.
The gameplay is very Tales like, and you still have to like a loading screen into gameplay stuff. So it's not like you don't fight like right on this at the moment. Mm-hmm. But the combos you can do, the special moves with the characters, you can link together and like, it's so flashy and so good.
It's been a long time since we had a new Tales game.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably helped build this and to be kind of what it is. So
and it looks
I'm very excited.
Different than most Tales games because Tales games had that.
It was, held back time. By that same art style.
Yeah.
And now it's got a fresher kind of look and feel to it from the looks of things.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, very exciting.
So ready.
What is that? 2 weeks from now?
I think so.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
September 9th.
I mean, I guess so, yeah. Once we get to Friday of this week, it'll be officially 2 weeks. So, yeah. It comes out on the 10th. I mean, you know, 9 o'clock on the 9th if you buy it early kind of thing, too. But
yeah, PS4 game, unfortunately.
Oh, man. It's true. But it's okay.
Fine. It's still fine. I'm not a big thing.
And I think I was trying to look because I know like in terms of stuff that's coming out this week, there's a few like cool things. Maybe ones for people to look up if you made it all the way to the end here. Hoa is this like cool looking kind of like 2D like hand drawn game, which I think is more like platformy possible like puzzle type of thing. And then Psychonauts 2 coming out. Are you excited for that, Michael?
It's on my fantasy thing, so yes.
Oh, yeah. Michael's like, I'm excited for more points.
I never played the original, so.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to check out.
Me neither. Platformer. And I did not realize the original scored so highly back in the day, and I was just like, wow, this thing has totally just passed me by. Cause
completely.
In my mind, I was like, it looks so ugly. I just don't want to see it.
I love it.
And then Michael's No More Heroes 3 coming out this week also. Very cool. Cool stuff. That's Michael's going to get some points this time.
I'm going to get some points. Well, you got some points too with your Ghost of Tsushima. We both knew you were going to get like a lot of points. Yeah,
we knew that was probably coming there. And then
the unfortunate thing I think for my thing is 12 minutes is a very hit or miss game. Yeah. It seems like it's because it's very apparently incredibly twisted story.
Oh,
and a lot of people. And apparently the game controls aren't great, but the story itself takes a turn that people just don't like.
Gotcha. Like it's more divisive kind of thing.
Yes, very, very divisive or divisive.
Wow. Or both works.
I don't know words. But also freaking Boyfriend Dungeon.
Oh, yeah.
It started off at like, when I first got it, like an 83, 82, I'm like, yes.
Oh, wow, dang.
And then.
Like dropped like a rock.
It dropped like a rock because I think the whole controversy around it was, and this is a weird one, like. There wasn't enough warning, warning this has themes of like
emotional triggers kind of thing
and stuff. Yeah, and then it had something kind of like that, but it didn't have enough of a warning, I guess, for people.
Yeah.
And then people have just like it. It doesn't. It has a terrible score on Metacritic for like users and stuff.
Oh dang! And okay.
So I think, and it just like dropped like a rock. It's like at a 70. So I got no points for it.
I think now it's at like a 71 or something. It's
okay, 71. Yeah.
I think it's so bumped up a little bit. But yeah, I was kind of surprised. I was like, man, this is something that I heard people waiting for quite a while. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of surprised that it was like that. Also, I was bummed that Greek what is it? Greek memories of Azure. Yeah. I was like, oh, dang, dude, this thing looks super cool. Like, then, I was getting into the hype, and I bought it like because I still want to play it. But I was just like, man, 71. Like,
yeah,
didn't hit hard.
It did not hit hard at all.
It always hurts when indie games don't hit hard.
Yeah, you know? And this is weird. Like, like 70 is still a good score. Not bad, but.
When we're talking about scores, it skews things.
Yeah.
But I also always just want these indie games to be in like the 80s and stuff because I'm like, man, they look so cool. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, they just don't seem to like
hit.
They don't hit for like people, it seems like all the time. So I was just like, it's kind of a bummer.
That's why I'm hoping. Have you looked up The Artful Escape?
Yes.
Oh, that looks so good. I've
been waiting for that one for a while. And that was one of the. One's a long time ago for the Xbox stuff where I got like weird like chicken skin for no reason, like just when they started to like play the guitar riffs and stuff, and I was like, this looks awesome.
So good.
Like, I have no idea what this game is, but I'm into it.
I'm in for it, yeah.
And then I've just kind of been waiting for a while, and finally we got a date for it, and I'm like, cool, I want to play this game now. I think it's coming to Game Pass, so
yeah, I think so too.
I'm gonna jump on that. Do you still have Game Pass, by the way?
Oh, yes, but I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I
haven't used it. You should play Boyfriend Dungeon, Michael. See what you think about it. See what you think of it. Because I have it downloaded, and I just haven't touched it yet. And I'm just like, I should probably see what this is about.
Dating sim dungeon crawler thing.
Yeah. So, some interesting stuff there. But, man, it's going to be... September is going to be bonkers.
It's going to be loaded.
It's going to be crazy. So I think next week, we'll just kind of tease some early things here. We'll probably be talking a little bit about things that we're looking forward to for the next 3 months, because the last 3 months of this year seem like it's gonna be a little bit wild. So
well, probably more stuff coming out that we don't know of.
Not a lot.
But with like, apparently there's rumored Nintendo Directs, there's rumored Sony event, there's
I was gonna say now. Sony events being rumored is always the case.
And Directs too, so
never hear anything.
But who knows.
We'll find out. We'll see what's going on. Hopefully Gamescom will give us some cool things as well that we didn't know about for the end of the year. And then because right now, like, September is pretty stacked, October is decently filled at the moment, and then like November at the moment, I think only thing I have written down for it is like Forza Horizon 5 and Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl.
Yeah,
so those are like the main things. And then we we found out about
Arceus.
Arceus
that got pushed.
Arceus was January. Talking about Pokemon?
Oh, it was always January. I thought it was December for some reason.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. Pokemon was, it was originally announced for January, which is, we got to see for that Pokemon Presents kind of thing, which I thought was cool
looking. Yeah.
I'm liking that more and more by the looks of things. But yeah, so I mean, in terms of like November, it's pretty light. And then I think December, the only thing I know about is Dying Light 2.
And
there might be something else that I just didn't write down.
It's on your list.
Something else on my list? Advance Wars. Oh yeah, that's right. Is that December like 1st or 2nd or something?
December.
Crap. I think 2nd.
Advance Wars coming out like 5th or 6th or something like that.
Okay. That's cool too then. Yeah. Cuz Advance Wars I'm very excited to try out for the first time.
3rd.
3rd. Okay. All right, so it's a Wednesday. All right. There we go. So we got two things there. But it's like all the things have been pushed to like September and like October. So those things are going to be full, and then we'll see what happens with the last couple months. But I'm excited about things coming up, Michael.
I am too.
So many cool things within at least like the next month.
Judgment.
Oh yeah, Lost Judgment. There you go. Game of the year for Michael over here.
Already calling.
All right. Well, this has been the Bros and Consoles podcast. Thanks everybody for coming in once again and kind of just listen to us talk about all these weird things sometimes.
Yep. All video game related.
All video game related. All the time. Most of the time, like 85%.
Yeah.
Of the time. But thanks for all the support you guys have given us. And hope you guys play some cool video games over the next week or so. Until then, just stay cool and stay healthy. You know what I'm saying? Just be good to each other. And we'll talk to y'all later.
Peace.
And cheers, everybody.